Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us here on the program for the next hour, talking all things Titans. We'll take your questions for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So we had Nick Bumgardner on yesterday from The Athletic, and we went through a couple different draft positions with him. Tight end, going to be a really interesting draft there. Could the Titans end up with a tight end at some point? You know, they've had Terrence Ferguson from Oregon in for a visit. Could that be a target in the fourth round if they trade back into the third? Could you come up with a tight end that way? And we also asked about running back, and I thought Bumgardner had an interesting response to this year's running back class. Here's what Nick Bumgardner had to say on the show yesterday.
It's outstanding. It might be the deepest class or the deepest group of any, you know, position group in the draft this year. I think last year there was 20 running backs taken, somewhere like that. I think this year I would not be surprised if it's 30 or more, which I think would be pretty close to the record, if not, you know, in the last 15 years anyway, it would be up there with matching any of those classes. I think that, and the other part of it too is, you know, there's a good 20 guys in here who can help a team tomorrow, you know, that in some way, shape, or form. Be it, you know, we talk about guys like Jeanty and Omarion Hampton and Caleb Johnson, Trayvon Henderson. These are guys that can come in and probably be your one A or just your solo one. But there's guys in there. You mentioned Scadaboo, Damian Martinez, a kid from Miami, R.J. Harvey from UCF there, Jordan James from Oregon. These are guys, Trevor Etienne's brother there at Georgia. These are all guys I think that can also come in right away. And you could get them maybe third, fourth round. I think there's going to be players even in the fifth round this year that, you know, you can draft and say, hey, we can put him in and he can do some things right now. It won't be just like a surprise or added bonus if this kid comes in here and helps us out. I think it's a really, really good year to need a running back. And almost even if you don't need one, like right away, if you're thinking, you know, if you've got like an older guy that maybe is going to come off the roster here in a year or two, like this would be a good year to sort of go ahead and say, hey, these are playmakers. These are guys that can handle a load. A lot of them are super, super productive.
So Bumgardner brings that up yesterday, PK, and I'm with you from the standpoint of looking at this team right now, running back is not even close to on the list of needs of what they've got. Having said that, pretty much universally, when you look around, it's the best and deepest position ranked in this draft. So is there a chance in your mind that the fourth round could run around or they trade back and pick up a third round pick and there's a guy available, whether that's Scadaboo or Sampson or whoever, that the Titans just look around and say, you know what, from a value standpoint, like this guy is by far our best player on the board, we got to get him. Do you think a running back could be in play given the strength of how deep that class appears to be heading into this year?
I mean, it's possible. We're going to learn about Borgonzi in this first draft, about how willing he is to do that. And you don't want them to be completely dictated by need, but their needs are so significant that a third running back and what they're calling a big back and a between the tackles back, you know, it's a role. It's not insignificant. But, I mean, I'd much rather it come around in the sixth or the sixth, or an undrafted rookie where, you know, you find people on a pretty regular basis. Down in that range, look, I'm not going to pretend to know guys. I've got James Foster who writes for me. He loves Corey Kiner from Cincinnati, yep, who's not a gigantic guy. He's 5'9", 209, but he's an in between the tackles kind of guy. I'd be fine with a pick like that in the sixth. But if they get to the fourth and you know, with their third pick, take a running back, I'm going to think, you know, my God, there's nobody there that they like at edge or wide receiver. If they've taken an edge or a wide receiver at 35 or tight end, you know, all these other positions, tight end, safety, I would value a lot of things more than third running back. And part of this, you know, in terms of the need, it's hard not to look back and say, I like Tajay Spears as a ball catcher in space. But for a third-round pick to be giving you doubts about taking handoffs and durability, and it's not the knee without an ACL, but he's been banged up a lot, you should be absolutely set too deep at running back. And a third running back shouldn't be that big of a consideration that is even in the conversation with an earlier pick based on your needs at the other spot.
But that's the thing. You may not be that set, right? Yeah. To me, the whole thing is, if you have a chance to get Cam Scataboo, okay, he is my – who's the kid from Rondale
Moore? You love Rondale Moore.
He's my Rondale Moore of this draft. Cam Scataboo is going to be amazing in the NFL. So if the Titans are sitting there in the fourth round and somehow Scataboo's sitting there, they better freaking take him. But seriously – It still is the best available thing, right? Like, is it possible that at some point it's just that the running back is the clear best player on the board and their board? Then okay,
it's very possible.
Then do it.
Then the question becomes: do you how much better is the running back than the edge rusher there or the tight end that's there? Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Sure. And do you factor in? I mean, I understand the best available, but do you also factor in that we anticipate in the sixth? There'll also be a running back who's best player available. And, you know, yeah, I think you have to look at that somewhat.
Well, I also keep coming back to this. Like, I'm looking at Spears and the production through the first 2 years. And I get it. He's not been the starting running back. But there's almost, like, there's very little production. I mean, he's averaging, you know, last year he averaged 3.7 a carry. He's got 453 yards in 2023 on the ground, 312 on 84 attempts last year. In the passing game, I mean, he caught 30 balls for 224 yards last year. Like, all of these numbers you can find with pretty much any running back in the league, if you want to. So I wonder, how does Borgonzi, who did not draft him, view that position and the future of it as they move forward? Again, I don't think it's anywhere near the top of their list of needs. But by all accounts, this is a great year for running backs in this draft.
Are they going to pretend it's a two-back team? Or are they going to say Tony Pollard's our running back and Spears is our number two? I guess it doesn't matter what you call it. It matters what you do.
Right.
But Pollard should get, you know – and he did last year. More carries.
Yeah, and
don't tell us it's a two-back thing. Tony Pollard should be the workhorse. He can handle it. I prefer, you know, Derrick Henry's otherworldly, but I prefer the, you know, we'll worry about the wear and tear later. We're going to use this guy up now. And, you know, Tony Pollard showed no signs of slowing down to me later, and they were worried about 22 carries or 20 carries a game. I thought they were being a little bit too... They talked about it more. They used them the way they needed to, but they talked about it like this guy can't hold up. And I didn't see any signs that Tony Pollard couldn't hold up. There were a lot of signs that Spears couldn't hold up. I think, you know, I'm with you on Spears. I'm down on Spears. I just, every once in a while, catches a ball out there in space and really does something with it. Find a way to throw him more of those passes and don't intend to hand it off too much to him. Certainly not on handoffs that intend for him to take the ball between the tackles. He's not a good between the tackle runner.
Well, I think Pollard's mortal, and I agree. He was good last year, and there were no signs, but I think he's mortal, and I think that there's a limited time frame here with him.
Well,
and I just don't know that he's quite – I mean, he's good, but is he a one – period back in this league, or does he need, you know, to be a 1A with a better 1B?
Well, yeah. No, I think you need a better 1B, but – as good as the draft class is, teams consistently find guys who can play that role.
Yep.
They consistently find guys who can play Pollard's role, frankly, outside of the draft. And
consistently?
There are a lot of guys.
A lot of backs make the league that are UDFAs, but how many UDFAs are prominent running backs in this league, production-wise?
I can't list them off the top of my head, but like Rico Dowdle, is he undrafted?
I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, I think that part of what we're asking Borgonzi to do is find and let his scouts find some undrafted talent, because there are roster spots on the back end of this roster who need to be who Fossil needs to help find, who he says check a special teams box, who are going to be contributors on offense and defense in specialty roles. And that's probably specialty role number one. That if you're saying, who can I leave out of the draft picks who's going to be a contributor on special teams and on offense or defense, I'd say running back three would be the first spot, I'd say.
Just real quickly by the numbers, you know, Spears was hurt last year, only played in 12 games, but just per game, when you break it down carry percentage, Pollard averaged 16.25 carries a game. Spears was right at 7, so more than doubling up Spears on the carries. So yeah, that shows you it wasn't a two-back approach.
And look, they've got 2/6. There's no problem taking a running back with one of those 2/6. I've got no beef there. Or a fifth. But I when you start talking fourth, I get a little that's a little high for Scatabu. Me, given their other needs.
Where's Scatabu projected?
It just depends on where you look. Some people have him third round. Some people I've seen late fourth. It just depends.
Yeah, I don't want him here just because of the look on your face.
Oh, man. he is going to be great.
I mean,
out there puking while running over people. Fantastic. Well,
we brought up the athletic big board the other day. They've got Dylan Sampson at 63 on their list overall.
Oh, Joe, you must think he's Earl Campbell.
Can you imagine Hendon Hooker hand up to Dylan Sampson?
Again, I've seen it before.
In new
planting
Nissan
seeds.
Stadium.
Planting
for a
seeds.
Decade in new Nissan Stadium.
615-737-1025, our phone number.
I've got a guy who DMs me. And this is not an invitation for you to DM me ridiculous stuff. And he thought that the Titans legitimately should trade number one for Joe Milton, who went for a 15-pick swap, 15 jump in the
They would have got him, though. Like, it guarantees you get him if you was at Devin.
So I went back to him and I said, like, well, you would have given up the first, and the Dallas gave up, you know, 15-pick jump in the sixth or the fifth. And he's like, he's still coming at me. So I sent him, Albert Breer wrote, you know, a section of his column about him saying, like, the view of his value changed not at all from the one game that he played based on what he was worth in the trade. You know, I said, go read Albert Breer. But people's inability to detach themselves from the love of their college life is just really.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
You leave Bazooka Joe alone.
Well, more with PK coming up next.
Who's more valuable to you, Hooker or Milton? Or you just like to pair them? And
if we could somehow pollinate them, you know.
I mean, if you did, the
greatest quarterback
together,
of all time.
They'd be pretty good.
Yeah. But Joe doesn't want them on the same team because then both of them wouldn't be starters.
That's right.
It's true.
That's right.
True. I mean, you could run alternate series.
I need them one in the AFC, one in the AFC, so one in the NFC, and they keep meeting in the Super Bowl year after year. That's what's going to happen.
More with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Pierce the Veil at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, June 4th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5, win a pair of tickets to see Pierce the Veil at Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, June 4th. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program. PK, we talked last Friday about the idea of a James Pierce or a Luther Burden slipping down and being available at 35 for the Titans. It was interesting. I saw Kuyper's mock draft yesterday. He had both Burden and Igbuka from Ohio State available at 35 for the Titans. The Titans passing on them. And them going after that. I will be stunned if both of those guys in Burden and Igbuka are both available at 35.
And who did he give
them? They got the kid
UCLA
out of UCLA rusher.
And
they had James Pierce, of course, going 32 to the Eagles, which is becoming very predictable.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
James Pierce, you're the UT expert here, Joe. Do you have James Pierce as a Hall of Famer, and what do you make of, like you do most UT guys? Or
yeah.
Do you have some concerns about these concerns that make him sound, to me, a bit like I need to check in with Albert Haynesworth on this, because he sounds like he's got a reputation like Albert Haynesworth coming out minus the 2x4 at practice.
Look, even before this stuff, I would tell you that being around him some, he's surly. he's not a big social butterfly or anything, and obviously it sounds like, look, the stuff that has come out about James Pierce tells me that there is at least a coach or coaches on the Vols staff that have not been afraid to tell these guys, like, you know, it wasn't easy, you know. Now, the one thing I would say is, you know, look, sometimes you have college players. I've said this before, but sometimes you have college players focused on making the NFL. Everybody, I mean, people were talking about him as the number one overall pick last year. And so that can adversely affect – it shouldn't, but it can adversely affect, you know, this person's impact on the locker room, things like that. Then you get to the NFL – and you understand where you are. You're in the NFL now. Like, it's, you're not just like the best guy on the team and I don't care what you guys say, screw you, I'm going to be the number one pick. You're in the NFL now. So if you have that self-awareness, then maybe it really doesn't matter, right, once you get to this level. His talent, if he's sitting there at 35, to me, I'm sorry, but, like, I have not heard anything other than the, you know, the personality, you know, not a especially coachable guy or whatever it was that came out. None of this stuff to me is a non-starter for taking him at 35. I think it'd be incredibly
but
lucky.
If you're measuring him versus Burden or Egbuka,
it'd be hard for me to pass on Egbuka.
God, yeah, I don't know, it'd be hard for me to pass on Pierce though. God, I mean, I think his upside as an edge in this league, I think both those guys are good players, but I think his upside as an edge in this league is higher than that.
Shocking. Joe goes with the UT guy. I mean, is there one time that you're going to not choose the UT guy, put in one of these situations?
Let's see. What UT guys have
would
I –
would you not
what
take?
UT guys, in all seriousness, have I said, like, have I been
you would have taken Hooker as high as 11.
I was not like a huge Jalen Hyatt.
How good do you think Omar Norman Lott's going to be? Is he going in the first round?
Actually, pretty good.
Sampson?
I would not draft any of their offensive
linemen.
Dante
Thornton is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, God, that's – speaking of that, TD is, like, huge on him. And I'm like, man, I just
– I figured he talked to you.
There you go. I'm down on Dante Thornton, totally. He's fast, just like Jalen Hyatt, but – can't stay healthy, and I don't think he's going to be a big impact guy in this league.
So return with me, both of you, return with me for a second to this hypothetical land here of Cam Ward coming in, and let's say he's pretty good to start. Like, maybe he's not Jaden Daniels from last year, but you come in, and there's immediately you say, all right, the difference in quarterback play from last year to this year is pretty significant. What is – with that information in your back pocket, what is Calvin Ridley at this stage of his career? I look at the last 2 years, you know, obviously a slow start last year where it took him and Levis forever to get on the same page. And then really he got on the same page with Rudolph, and then it translated more into Levis as the season went on. But he ends up basically with identical stats from a yardage standpoint the last 2 years. He had 1,016 in 2023. He had 1,017 last year, so a one-yard difference. 76 catches in 2023, 64 last year. Quarterback play last year was bad with the Titans. Trevor Lawrence the year before was not last year with the Titans, but up and down would be fair to describe him. If quarterback play is good, if that's your baseline, what is Calvin Ridley at this stage in his career?
Well, I would hope he could be consistent like he was last year. After the first month, he was pretty consistent. I'm concerned about how long it takes him to get on the same page with the new quarterback, no matter how good that quarterback is, because certainly took he and Will Levis a long time, and I think that was more Ridley than Levis, if I had to wait. And there were also moments that Calvin Ridley was undependable, where on a 3rd and 8 or whatever it was, he ran 6 to the sideline and went out of bounds when there seemed to be a chance for him to stop and spin and try to get the 2 yards. And you talk to him afterwards and he said, like, yeah, I thought there was a guy there. And there wasn't a guy there. And you were just like, it's kind of inexplicable. And he had some of those moments that you can't have as a football player, and you certainly can't have as a top weapon for your team. And I think he's self-aware about having those moments, which is a start, but I think that's who he is.
Doesn't mean he won't keep having them.
Exactly.
He's a wide receiver, too, who is only a wide receiver 1 on a bad team.
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
And I think we overcast 1s and 2s out of, like, fantasy perspective sometimes. Like, I think it's fine if the other guy is Calvin Ridley talent, but young and upside, you know, upside to grow out of some things, whatever his things are.
Yep.
And he's here for 8 years, 10 years. Ideally, a second contract guy. The Titans have a long history now, too long, over the last 12 years or whatever, of not signing second contracts very
making
often.
Awesome trades.
Yeah. And so they need to have two contract players. That's their intent when they say draft and develop. They're intending to develop that guy to be here, not to develop him in a 4 or 5 year scenario to go elsewhere. So they need a big time wide receiver to make Ridley technically a two, and to give them a 1-2 punch, and ideally to get a third guy as well that would keep Jefferson / Oliver in their right spot, the way we talk about an NWI who consistently came up and was the two, where he was a good player, but he kept being thrust into a spot where he's asked to do more than his inability to separate was ideal for.
I just remember we had Michael DiRocco on the show last year, before the season started. And he was talking about Ridley in Jacksonville. And one of the things he talked about was it took him a while to really get like the route tree down and get the playbook down in Jacksonville and to get on the same page with Lawrence. And I remember after that interview, a lot of Titans fans were like, well, it's Jacksonville. Of course, like it's not Ridley, it's Jacksonville. And then he comes here and he basically does the same thing. And it's like, well, it's starting to be a little bit of a trend with Ridley. You really got to get over that. Like, you got to find a way to move past that this year if you're him, particularly if you've got Ward coming in. Like, they don't need to spend the first month and a half of the season trying to get on the same page with each other and having, you know, Brian Callahan and everybody else all training camp long saying, oh, well, they'll figure it out. It'll happen at some point. Let's try to avoid that.
Also, they don't have a DeAndre Hopkins there to kind of lead that room and set that tone. So Ridley, to a large degree, is the tone setter of that room.
Could have been NWI.
Well,
could have been.
When your tone setter of that room is the guy that needs a month to get going and stuff like that, or get you six.
That's quite a tone.
When you need eight because he thinks a guy is there, that's a little, cause for worry.
I have the text of the day to read when we come back.
We'll get into that coming up next. More with PK coming up the rest of the hour here, talking all things Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. 102.5, The Game, and Green River Whiskey have teamed up to give away tickets to see Lainey Wilson at Bridgestone Arena in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club on Thursday, October 2nd. Tune in to Chasing Big Joe today during the 9 o'clock hour for your chance to win tickets. Green River Whiskey, sit back, relax, and bourbon. Green River Distilling Company. Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program, talking all things Titans, taking your questions on our text lines. Some interesting discussions during our break. We're talking deli meats, talking football. It's a versatile program here,
talking
PK.
Talking grandma's basement.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on around here.
Okay, I need to read this.
Go ahead.
And also, since you decided to attack Ian, I hope you're listening, Ian. This is Chris and Dixon. He says, with all due respect, why is PK calling Ian out for not calling Jared out when PK was carrying water for Chad Brinker? And I mean this with all due respect. Excellent text.
People still get after you and Brinker.
Carrying water.
What do you have to say, water carrier?
I just say it's a ridiculous premise.
Well, you're wrong that Ian never calls out Jared. He just does it in a kind way.
It's true. Somebody asking about
That's what you need with Jared. I mean,
I got you,
if you're
going to
call Jared,
I got you, brother.
If you're going to call out Jared, do it meekly. I mean, that's what the situation calls.
I think sometimes it's okay to. Sometimes that's the most effective thing, right? It's like your parents when they're really angry.
I'm not mad.
Yeah, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Actually, can be a little more effective, right?
I agree.
I'll like play active for you.
I know that you can't do that because all you do
I'm
is scream about
I'm absolutely
right
here, don't you think, Ian? I got this crazy theory, and it's absolutely right, don't you think, Ian? Maybe not, Jared.
Right.
See, but that's
good. That's a good pushback.
I like
that's
effective.
Good pushback.
I actually like it.
I do too. You might be a little off on that one, Jared.
PK, somebody asking you about Trey Harris, if you have a strong opinion on him at 35, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss.
Not my favorite, given some of the guys that we're talking about.
I think he will be available. And that's going to be really interesting at 35. as we've discussed. Where is that line, if you're the Titans, of, man, we'd really like to trade out of this and pick up more picks, and wow, like Luther Burden's there, let's take him. Or wow, James Pierce is there, let's take him. Like, how many of those guys will be on the list where the Titans say, you know what, we'd rather just take this player rather than trying to trade back and pick up more draft picks there?
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's been a lot of Trey Harris buzz at all through this process. Do you guys?
Not really. Ton. I think that guy, like I said, I've talked about the Tennessee receivers, and I think it's the same thing. I actually think that, you know, we're going to see quarterbacks who succeed in this league out of that offense, out of that really Art Briles offense is what it is. Yeah, and we have seen some receivers, but it is so different. The game is so different the way it's played in that offense. Yep. You don't do the stuff that the choice routes and all the stuff that, you know, the wide splits. It's not comparable.
McMillan, Burden, Golden, Egbuka, Higgins, Bond, Besh, even, who I really like.
You've been
I really like Besh, but do I feel like he's going to be your, like, guy who's like, he'll do everything
pretty
right
good,
and he'll make a lot of plays, but is he your number one? Like, I feel like he's a do everything. Yeah, you know, maybe he's productive like Cooper Kupp.
Yeah,
but he's not, like, I don't know. I'm a little bit torn. I think he'd be a fantastic player on this team, but I don't know that you'd look at the Titans and go, oh, they have Jack Besh.
Yeah. Well, I think you could throw that question out. Is there one of those guys in this entire draft? Because, like, depending on who you ask about McMillan, there are some people that don't think he's going to be
there. Yeah, the top level is not as much of a sure thing at all.
Like Golden, as it's been in recent years, yeah, and as it will be in future. I mean, every year is going to be loaded with wide receivers. This one's a little bit different, it feels like.
Like, Golden does, I think, everything well. But is he totally explosive? Like, is he a guy that's going to be a legitimate number one guy in the NFL? If I had to pick one, he would probably be the one that I would pick that has a chance to be that.
I would too.
But there's no, like, Ja'Marr Chase isn't walking around in this draft.
Yeah. And of course, you know, who knows? Someone will go in the third
and somebody,
round and be
yeah, somebody inevitably will be. Right. Yeah.
But, and maybe that's Trey Harris. Who knows? But I agree with what you're saying. There's kind of a more of a graduation process coming out of that offense than some of these other guys.
It's all, you know, the running back thing, by the way, it really is interesting when you talk, because we expect, like you said, like, the receivers are just going to be great year after year. We know this, right? It's kind of wild to see this many with all the fact that there hasn't been market inflation at that one position in this league, right? Yeah. And all the talk about, I mean, Derrick Henry even saying, you know, last year, like, yeah, maybe I would have gone to outside linebacker instead of running back knowing what I know, and yet we still have this many top running backs coming out of college football. Does that change anytime soon?
I read this somewhere, and it's a good point. I don't think running backs are going to fizzle out that way. And I think Derrick Henry saying that is interesting. I'd like to have more of a conversation with him. Because while it sounds good for Derrick Henry to go play linebacker, like, in a different universe, anticipating where the money is.
I mean, thank goodness
stuff,
he didn't.
I know. It sounds good where the money is, but it's not where the ball is. And little kids playing peewee football when they're 6, 7, and 8, they're not thinking about
the best player is the running
where
back.
The money is. They're thinking about where the ball is.
Sure.
They want to hold the ball. They want to carry the ball. And the running back carries the ball. He's bigger than the quarterback at that age.
Right.
So they're still going to be good running backs,
but
because kids grow up playing running backs.
But really, the switch, though, it
comes, I mean, later.
Well, no, but the switch would be, for most guys, it's to receiver, right? I mean, that,
yeah.
And so then you still get the ball, but you don't get as much.
Not as much.
That's right.
Not as much. And look, also,
and if you've already developed your affinity for the position, you know,
yeah,
we've all been there to some degree. If you're, you know, a kid playing shortstop or a catcher, you know, you've got that affinity for
that's your position,
that role.
Well, and also, like, I think there's been this long time thought that the running back position is continuing to be devalued and go down in importance. And then you have a free agent class like last year where you've got Saquon be, if not primarily responsible, largely responsible for a Super Bowl championship. Josh Jacobs was unbelievable in Green Bay. Derrick Henry was unbelievable in Baltimore.
And hit
like,
those huge benchmarks that got runs. A lot of like, attention.
Talk about Jared Goff. He was great, but you know what? Boy, those two running backs with the Lions.
Huge.
Gigantically
factors.
Important. No, it's just the problem is that most of these guys, or a lot of these guys, get used up in 4 or 5 years, and then you're drafting the next one.
Well, and by the way, we keep talking
Henry
about –
Henry and Barkley are not – youngsters.
We keep talking about running backs. Like, you know, we'll see what Abdul Carter's health looks like, Travis Hunter, what he is in the NFL. The best player in this draft may end up being Ashton Jenty.
Yeah.
Like
he's incredible.
Pretty darn good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we'll be back at Hermitage Golf Course coming up on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us, a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Adam in Portland brings up an interesting guy that I'll be very fascinated to see where he falls in the draft here. Says Jack Sawyer at Ohio State might be the steal of the draft. He's got the tools to be a game wrecker at the next level. He's my favorite player in the draft. I think in 5 years when we do a redraft, he'll be in the top five. Now, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know if when you do a redraft in 5 years, if he's going to be in the top five. But I do see some mocks where he's fallen to like the third round and in the fourth round. And I like him. I'm interested to see where he ends up going. Like, you talk about the Titans getting an edge rusher. And TD's brought up how, like, it's hard to find those impactful guys outside of, like, the top 35, 40 picks. That's a guy that could be there outside of that, you know, is he going to be an impactful guy? We'll see. He's got a high motor. I know that after watching him in the college football playoff.
Yeah, he's a good player. This is sometimes you look at a guy like that and you do look at everyone around him and realize that every week they out-talented everybody and other teams had to deal with some other real problems.
Yes.
That were with him, but I think he's good. You know, I don't agree with Adam. I don't think we're going to look back and he's going to be some marvel, but because the measurables are, you know, that's why he's dropping. And the measurables matter. They do. I mean, you can overcome that to some point, to some extent with motor and intensity and all that stuff, but I think he's going to make plays in the league.
I think he's a lot motor, and that's why you fall in love with a guy like that. You watch him play and you're like, whoa. But I think, you know, the measurables for other guys who also, you know, have motor, yep, and work hard, Trump
and have the length,
yeah,
the length and the speed,
overtake him. And so I agree. I don't think he's going to look like a top five guy when this is all said and done. I think he'll be a good player for somebody, but I don't think he's 35 in this draft.
I keep bringing up Kyle Kennard. Like, I think he's going to be really good. And there's not a, you know, we talked a lot about Landon Jackson yesterday, PK, with Herndon. Like, Herndon loves Landon Jackson. I like Landon Jackson a lot too. Out of Arkansas, I think I might like Kennard more. Like, I think Kennard can be pretty good out of South Carolina.
Yeah, no, his coach. Yeah, so yeah, that's right. So you like him that much because you believe he's overcome.
He's overcome Shane Beamer. Yeah,
he's overcome his coaching.
Overcome, yeah. Shane
you're,
Beamer.
You're like almost. He's almost like me with Vols. You know, he's a Gamecocks guy. You know,
I've always thought Robbie Stanley as a
big South Carolina guy,
Gamecock guy.
Yeah, big Cox guy.
Yeah.
Let's not start getting into afternoon discussion.
Ezeraku from Boston College is a guy that I think hasn't been discussed enough in the conversations I've been a part of here as an edge guy who I think is another one of these guys that might be in that range who could be the impactful edge
And the Titans could have a Boston College edge guy going for – a decade plus. Matthew Nashville asked about, will someone be crazy enough to draft Milroe in the first round? I think that'd be crazy. The fact that
he's
going to the draft, like that, I'm fascinated by that and the NFL's process because the NFL supposedly does try to get a sense for things.
If you ask. Did he ask?
I don't know.
Did Milrow ask, you're saying?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, though. Like,
because you ask and you get a letter back, but I think you have to initiate that process.
I'd really like to sit there and
be a huge mistake
TV.
To not ask.
Yeah, he will not well, go. If he goes the first round, I'll be shocked.
The Steelers had a meal with him.
Here's what the NFL will never say, but I fully believe to be the case. And it's a little bit less so with Milrow because nobody's talking about Milrow going in the top 10. But like with the Rodgers slide, with the Brady Quinn slide, and even to a degree with the Will Levis slide. Like, that's pretty entertaining television.
Oh, they
right?
love it.
Like, they'll never come out and say that they love that, but they do.
They want somebody there who's in that situation.
Well, sure, but the thing is, but Milrow is not expected to go anywhere.
Right, that's why I'm saying his is different.
Yeah.
But
– yeah, why he's going.
Oh, it's great TV.
Yeah, but it also makes me wonder, like, what if he has asked and he's gotten the feedback of, yeah, man, go to the draft. You'll be there. Like, is there somebody – look, the talent is there. He's got a lot of ability. It was just last year I think he regressed last year. I don't think it was even he stayed stagnant. I think he got worse.
He got worse.
And he misses way too many layups. He throws an unbelievable deep ball.
Yeah.
And athletically, I mean, what did he run, a 4.3? Like, there's a lot there to like. It just he misses way too much of the easy stuff.
Yeah, his passing game's backward.
As soon as you get into all the throws he misses, it's not happening, man. I just don't see how you fix that. I understand that Josh Allen is always going to be the example of accuracy somehow magically improving while you're in the NFL, but he's still the only one I know of.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Does somebody get enamored with the athleticism, though?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you don't find that combination at quarterback very often.
And then enough you're building to take your offense. Him somewhere, yes, in the first round.
And then you're building your offense around him if he's your guy. Which is, you know, a hell of an investment.
Yeah,
to say this is our guy, and we're going to build things around him. Well,
if you take Lamar
Jackson,
but that's what you have to do if you take him because that's where that is a superpower, and he is phenomenal. Like not just the speed, but he's powerful too.
Well, look, I thought that when they had that Georgia game, when it was Alabama Georgia, the way he played in that game, I mean, he looked like Lamar Jackson. It was unbelievable the way he played, and then it was just so. Inconsistent.
So weird how it went.
What's the thing? Like, you know, talent wise, he's probably more talented than Dart is, right? Like, he's got a lot of ability. Like, trying to identify exactly not only where Sanders is going to go, but especially that third quarterback. Dart. Does Milrow jump ahead of Dart? Where that guy goes is going to be really interesting here. Like, I don't know what it is.
Desperation, I mean, Dart.
Nice. Fart for Dart.
You're on roll right now.
That's a total fart.
Both of you are on a roll right now.
Yeah. But Sanders and Dart will both go in the first round. I believe that.
I think so too. Sanders in particular. Where is it going to be? Is it going to be 9? Is it going to be 2? Is it 21?
I was saying during the break, Albert Breer has something. But there's some talk, increasing talk that the Raiders may like him as Geno's kind of understudy, which not the worst idea I've ever heard of.
I've talked myself.
Think Deion's patience will be with that.
I've talked myself into wanting the Titans to take a running back at 35 just to see PK's reaction when it happens. I just want to see what PK does.
Man, Scataboo at 35. It's worth it. I'm telling you. It's worth it.
Pitchforks and torches. I won't have to lead that one. That'll take
Sun Devil
up on
have
its
the
own.
Pitchfork. Bring the pitchfork to Tennessee.
He's already got it.
That's right.
What do they say? Forks down?
I think
forks
so, yeah.
Up.
They do.
I don't know if it's
forks
down
makes more sense.
I tell you to shut the forks up.
You just
I'm really
time
straddling
you go
the line.
There, it's just like right.
Oh,
on the
it's
edge
so close.
Really
getting after
measuring cheek size.
PK, 2 days in a row. Thank you for being with us.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock the locks. James Foster on People the Titans Should Not Draft coming up at PK.com.
Looking forward to that. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.